Hi, good morning, everyone. Thanks a lot for joining us today. My name is Antoine Natalie. I'm a member of the J.P. Morgan Healthcare Investment Banking team. It is my pleasure to introduce you to our next speaker this morning, Peter Guenter, the CEO of Almirall.
Well, thank you very much, and thanks to J.P. Morgan to invite us and give us the opportunity here to present to you the transformation of Almirall. And this presentation will also be webcasted and later made available on our website. So in the next 20 minutes or so, we are a public company, so this is our disclaimer. In the next 20 minutes or so, what I thought going to share with you is give you a flavor of the work we have been doing with the team over the last 2 years or so, and hopefully convince you that Almirall today is a quite different company than Almirall back a couple of years ago. I will shortly or briefly walk you through why we think that being in medical dermatology for a company like Almirall is a good place to be, but it's more how you want to be in dermatology than the question, should you be in dermatology? I'll touch briefly upon a couple of innovative launches that we are going through and that, of course, are extremely important to us. And I'll finish on our capital allocation and before bringing it to a close. So first of all, the transformation is well represented here. So basically, if you take a step back, you go back to October 2017, which was kind of a new setting of the company. There was a profit warning in 2017. The U.S. acquisition that was done a couple of years before turned out to go in the wrong direction. And then, for me, the new Almirall starts, if you will, with the launch of Skilarence, which was our first launch in psoriasis in Europe, which occurred in October 2017. We made a first-in-licensing deal for a new mode of action in actinic keratosis, which is a precancerous and very frequent disease in medical dermatology. At that time, tirbanibulin was in phase two, and I'll come back in a minute on where the product is now. Very important turning point was the acquisition of the medical dermatology portfolio of Allergan in the U.S. in August 2018, which came with an innovative novel antibiotic for moderate to severe acne, which you see appearing a little bit later, which was then launched a couple of months later in the U.S. called Seysara, and I'll come back to that launch in a minute. We had our first launch of a biologic in Europe, so also a very, very new event to Almirall. So this is the license of Sun. So we have the European rights on Ilumetri, which is an antibody, a monoclonal antibody, IL-23p19. And then I would say perhaps the most important of all happened in February 2019, where we entered into an option deal with Dermira and to acquire the European rights on lebrikizumab, an IL-13, for the treatment of atopic dermatitis. The option deal was constructed in such a way that we had the possibility to look at the phase 2b data and then decide whether we would exercise the option or not. And of course, when we saw what we thought to be very interesting data, we exercised the option in June 2019, which gives us unrestricted access to this, what we think has best-in-class potential in atopic dermatitis and perhaps beyond for EU. Then we announced a slate of deals last week, actually. I will come back a little bit more in detail on Bioniz. In the interest of time, I cannot talk too much about the two others, but we're also very excited about it. So 23andMe, a company well known to everybody, leveraging its wealth of data in genotyping and phenotyping to also do target discovery and drug design. And actually, we're very happy that we are the first company to which they have outlicensed the rights on an anti-IL-36. And we're very excited by that. So this is a bispecific with lots of promises in dermatology and probably also beyond dermatology. The WuXi deal is also design of bispecific antibodies on undisclosed targets, so I will not talk about which target we are talking about. And then finally, last week, Lilly announced that they had intended to acquire Dermira, which, of course, for us, I think is extremely good news. Number one, it validates the hypothesis that indeed lebrikizumab is a very interesting molecule. And number two, with the power of Lilly behind behind this brand in terms of medical affairs, evidence generation, evidence dissemination, life cycle management, etc., etc., will of course also be very, very positive for our development in Europe. So this is really what we're trying to do, focus on those launches and building a real pipeline of innovation for severe unmet medical needs in medical dermatology. In parallel, we look, of course, also at the numbers, right? And this is what you see below. So back in 2017, a total EBITDA for the company of 142 million. And here we are 24 months later, and we are looking at a total EBITDA of 300 to 310 million euros. So in 24 months, we basically, significantly more than doubled the EBITDA. What becomes even more interesting is if you look at core EBITDA. So you may remember that in the P&L of Almirall, you have a line other income, which is basically income that we still receive. From a former deal where we divested the respiratory business to AstraZeneca back in 2014, and that is finally something that we don't manage. What we really manage, and where we really would invite you to look at, is what we call the core EBITDA, which is the EBITDA stemming directly from our business. And if you look at that number, you see that we have gone from 70 million in 2017 to 245 to 250 million in 2019. So, in other words, it's more than a triplication of that core EBITDA. So I think this is a nice scene setter for, let's say, what we have been doing in the last 2 years at Almirall. This comes not by coincidence or by chance. This comes with a team behind, and I will not go too into all the details, but basically we have a very global, very experienced leadership team. We have actually as many Americans in our team than we have Spaniards in our team. There is also a Belgian, there is a German. We have recently hired Dr. Koscielny from Celgene, who didn't want to move to BMS with Celgene, and we had the opportunity to hire him as a chief medical officer. We have Bouchan here today, head of R&D. We have Mike, our new CFO. And you see that this is a heavyweight team with quite some experience also in big pharma. So all this results in really developing Almirall into a real specialty care player in the field of medical dermatology. And I guess the key word on this slide is focus. So we are talking here about geographical focus. If you look at the right, you see that basically close to 90% of our sales now stem from the US and from Europe, which of course remains our stronghold. In the rest of the world, we have no direct presence. So what you see is basically partnered sales with legacy products of Almirall. If you go to the left slide, the left part of the slide, you see now that medical dermatology is now close to 50% of our total business, and this share, of course, will continue to increase with the launches that we are currently undergoing and with the future launches that we will have in the coming years, which are all in the field of dermatology. Okay, the rest is some other business in CNS. We have some OTC business in Spain. We have some cardiovascular business in Spain, which is our historical legacy business in Spain. Now, why medical dermatology? Well, if you look at the macro picture of dermatology, medical dermatology, it's a very dynamic market. It's an enormous number of dermatological conditions. People always think, well, this is acne, perhaps atopic dermatitis and psoriasis, that's it. No, it's way, way, way larger than that. What we try to do here is present it in four different buckets. Of course, the big ticket items today in dermatology are psoriasis and increasingly also atopic dermatitis. The third part is there, what I would call the conventional dermatology, like, for example, acne and rosacea. And then the top part of that stack bar is all the rest, and there things like oncodermatology, rare diseases is really where we try to focus. And the nice thing is actually that with our pipeline building, that we have tried and also succeeded to be present in each of those segments. So with our European business in psoriasis, with Skilarence and Ilumetri, we are going to launch lebrikizumab in Europe in 2023. We have launched Seysara in the acne space in the US. We have our AK drug, which is an onco-dermatologic indication, so with Europe and the US. and then the BNZ01, on which I will elaborate a little bit more in a minute, for which we have global rights. And of course, you will see more and more with the licensing deals we do, that we try to get global rights. And of course, all the proprietary research products that we are managing, of which some will move into the clinical pipeline in 2020, evidently are ours. So by definition, we will have global rights for these products. So pipeline, I must say, when I came to the company, the pipeline was mainly composed of reformulations. We halted most of these projects. Two were in phase three, so we let them go to the end. So topical finasteride and topical terbinafine. These products are now under registration in EMA. We consider that they do not fit in our new strategy of Almiral, which is to really focus on high unmet medical need areas and very innovative products. So we will out-license these products. But what is more exciting is the top part of the slide, where we are trying to build a clinical stage pipeline with very exciting products. And we are talking about here tirbanibulin, lebrikizumab, BNZ01, and much more to follow in the course of 2020 and 2021. So also very happy with the progress we have made. If you would take together the peak sales of the launches that are ongoing, so Skilarence, Ilumetri, and Seysara, and you would combine that with the peak sales of the two top products, tirbanibulin and lebrikizumab, we are looking at combined peak sales of more than 1 billion euros for a company that does more or less 1 billion euros. So you can see the importance of what we're trying to build here. Let me just focus now on lebrikizumab, because I'm not sure that the potential of this drug is sufficiently recognized by observers who look at Almiral. We think that this product has a potential to be best in disease for atopic dermatitis. You see on the right part of the slide the patient funnel. So basically it means that the number of patients will probably evolve in the direction of the number of patients you have today for psoriasis. You see the split out between moderate to severe, how many of those are treated, how many of those are considered to be eligible for new systemic treatment, so either antibodies or potentially the oral JAKs when they will come to the market. And you see actually that this is going to become a very, very important market in dermatology. The good news is that today there's only one biologic that is marketed, dupilumab of Sanofi. Also good news is that Sanofi has been able in Europe now to more or less secure very good market access for dupilumab, so we will not have to open that market access in atopic dermatitis. We will be able to follow on what Sanofi has already created with dupi. All observers say that the number of atopic dermatitis patients will be at least the same as psoriasis, but even with the burden of disease, that it's probably even more important than the burden of disease in psoriasis. And as I mentioned before, we anticipate to launch this early 2023. Now, why we're so excited about the product and why we think that the phase 2B data have been so good? Because the product has a very high affinity and specificity for the IL-13 cytokine. So basically, more and more data show that atopic dermatitis is really an IL-13 dominant disease. This is exactly what we do, is blocking the IL-13 cytokine with a very high degree of affinity and specificity. And basically, by blocking the IL-13 cytokine, you prevent the heterodimerization of the receptor that you see there. So this is the IL-4 alpha and the IL-13 RA alpha 1. And what is also very original with lebrikizumab is that it allows IL-13 to bind to the IL-13 R alpha 2 receptor, which is postulated to have an anti-inflammatory role by neutralizing the excess of IL-13. So this is also an interesting differentiation threat with, for example, tralokinumab, which does inhibit that second receptor. If you then look at the phase 2B data, which are public, which are out there, so there's nothing new here, but I wanted to quickly have a look at it. If you look at pruritus with an every 2 weeks dose regimen, we see a 70% reduction of the pruritus score. If you use the product every month, you still see a 47% reduction of the pruritus score. If you look at EASI 90, which is a very high bar to reach in atopic dermatitis, you see that for the every 2 weeks, 44% EASI 90, and for the every month, 36% EASI. And then if you would make indirect comparison, which I don't like, but, you know, since everybody does them, I also do them, you will see that those data compare very favorably with what is out there, either in the clinic, either in clinical development. Safety looks, a priori, very reassuring. You see very low data on conjunctivitis or herpes infections. Last slide on lebrikizumab, really interesting. You know, since we exercised the option on lebrikizumab, so in June 2019, there's only been good news to the product. So the oral JAK UPA from AbbVie has been launched in the US in rheumatoid arthritis. It's also under development in AD, but they have received a black box warning, so it is very reasonable to assume that also in atopic dermatitis they will have a black box warning. We have initiated phase 3 even a little bit ahead of schedule in October 2019. Then two potential competitors dropped out of development. So there was the IL-17C from Novartis that was stopped in October 2019, and the anti-IL-33 from Anapsis Bio that was stopped in November 2019. In the meantime, as I mentioned before, Dupi working on access and also opening the way for future incumbents in that indication. And Sanofi announcing in December 2019 global peak sales for Dupixent of 10 billion euros. So also kind of an external validation of the potential of these products in these therapeutic areas. And then in December, also, tralokinumab hit its primary endpoint, but no details were provided. And perhaps the most important part was, of course, in January, which, you know, with the acquisition by Dermira, by Lilly of Dermira, kind of for us also a very, very solid external validation that we made the right choice when we took the option on lebrikizumab. Now, the strategic deal with Bioniz is also a very interesting one. So basically what we've done here, we took again an option, so we de-risk it for us, on a product that is in phase 1-2A in CTCL. CTCL is a very severe disease in the field of oncodermatology. I'm not going to dwell on all the details in the interest of time, but, you know, the burden of disease, the high medical need. And what this company has is a very innovative platform where they can design peptides which tackle different which tackles the signaling of different cytokines with blocking a common receptor. And this technology, in the case of BNZ1, which is their lead product, blocks IL-2, IL-9, and IL-15. And orphan drug designation has been granted by the FDA. So the way we are having constructed the deal with Bioniz is as follows. So we have the option. We will have the readouts of the clinical data later this year. If we like the data, we will exercise the option. We will have all the global rights on BNZ1. And in parallel, we'll immediately start a broader research collaboration with this company. And the idea is that they will bring to us three IND-approved molecules in dermatological conditions, which we will decide, working with their proprietary multiple cytokine inhibition technical platform. And this should give us three additional candidates. What I forgot to say is also that BNZ01 first indication is CTCL, but there are other indications that will come for this product, amongst others alopecia areata, which is also a very severe disease in the field of dermatology. Now, short touch point on the launches. So first of all, Ilumetri, our biologic in psoriasis in Europe. You see there actually the data, the patient data in Germany month after month, and you see that we're actually tracking very, very nicely with the uptake. Just to situate you, the product was launched roughly 1 year after guselkumab and roughly 6 months before risankizumab, so the three IL-23s. And risankizumab was launched in Germany, so about May-June last year. And despite the launch of risankizumab, you see that we continue to gain month after month patients on Ilumetri, right? So this is certainly a very competitive space, but we think that we have a very good product. The longevity of action, we have 4 years long-term efficacy data. The product is extremely well tolerated. It is one injection by quarter, and we think that the IL-23s are going to be the winning class, and that being in that class of the IL-23s, we will continue to grow the product very nicely. Skilarenz is the oral drug. You may remember that there was a lot of use of DMF in Holland and in Germany, so we've basically saturated those markets, and that shows the very nice growth of Skilarenz. You should continue to see the product growing in the future, albeit in a more gradual pace, because those two heavy DMF markets, Holland and Germany, we have now market shares in those markets of about 80 to 90%. So, of course, much higher in those markets will be difficult. Last but not least, Seysara, our antibiotic in moderate to severe acne. So we have a very nice uptake of the TRXs. So we have already reached a 6% market share in TRX in the U.S. In the broad oral antibiotic market prescribed by dermatologists. We will continue to grow the brand and work hard this year in improving the gross-to-net ratios by dialing back on the copay card. Capital allocation, well, obviously it's clear that we have created to ourselves lots of opportunities. The ongoing launches, the upcoming launches like tirbanibulin, lebrikizumab. If we exercise the option with Bioness, it's an orphan drug. This will be a quick development and much more to come into the pipeline. So we have to make sure from a resource allocation standpoint that we fund those opportunities for us to create mid- to long-term shareholder value. So we will not compromise in making sure that those opportunities are really maximized and sufficiently funded. Number two, obviously, continue to transform the R&D pipeline. We are absolutely not there yet, but we have really made very good progress in the last 12 months, and I have shown you some examples. We intend to secure a stable dividend to our shareholders, and we continue to be on the lookout for potentially accretive M&As, because further increasing our critical mass in some businesses and some geographies would also have a very, I would say, virtuous effect on our capabilities to launch the products and to bring them even further with all the opportunities that we have now created. In closing, I would just say that we think that the strategic transformation at Almirall is now firmly underway, that we have a very good momentum for our key growth drivers, so European psoriasis franchise, Seysara in the US, that we have made significant progress across the late-stage pipeline, but also the preclinical pipeline, which I haven't shown you today, but also there we have really made a lot of progress. And then finally, management remains firmly focused on additional external opportunities to generate sustainable value for our shareholders and future growth process. So with that, I thank you very much for your attention.